Right now on VFN TV, we're going to look at the Notre Dame Cathedral, the tragedy going up in flames. The whole world's watching. And we're going to go to Sri Lanka, the tragedy Easter morning when there was massacre that took place of Christians that were worshiping Jesus Christ, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It was Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France. It was ablaze. They were going to remodel it. They were prepared to remodel it, to bring it to its newest place. But it's the most visited place in Paris, France. And now it's on fire, and the whole world is watching it burn. All the news media is covering it. People are in tears. They remember going there, seeing it, what it stood for. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, this is just such a tragedy. You know, when you saw that, you know, something that's been around for so long, representing so many awesome things, right?
Hundreds and hundreds of years. Reportedly is the most visited place in all of Europe, but definitely all of France.
Right.
But who would have thunk that something that's been around so long would be set on fire? And it seemed like it just wouldn't go out. People just were mesmerized.
Well, they were saying reportedly it's an accidental fire. The construction workers are working on it, last I heard. You know, that. But either way, I mean, here this thing's burning. It's blazing, you know, and then it just... I mean, it was amazing to see the world, how the world felt about this place, this building, this place they visited, other people visited, and it was almost like, you know, even though nobody was there,
right?
People's hearts were broken over it, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that a building could have that much of a pull, but people were even singing Ave Maria outside in front of the building as it burned.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, don't we have some footage right here?
We do. Mm-hmm. In fact, take a look.
The flames, burning out of control, could be seen across Paris, where the iconic church has stood for more than 800 years. There were moments when it seemed the entire structure would burn to the ground. The spire that marked the Paris skyline toppling from the flames.
That was the moment that she started crying when we watched that spire fall down. It's just, you know, it's such an iconic part of the Paris skyline.
One witness posted this cell phone video of a group of strangers gathered nearby the burning cathedral singing Ave Maria.
It's amazing, you know, it's just a tragedy, something that you'd like to see, something that you felt like that it was a moment in your life, it was a memory, one of the wonders of the world, I guess you would say, and you're watching it burn as it was, and people are singing about the mother of Jesus, you know, Ave Maria, they're talking about, you know, the mother of Jesus. And it is. I mean, but the whole world was covering it, and they were watching this. They were covering it live at Sky News, as a matter of fact,
Sky News 24 news cycle, but Sky News is just sharing with us the history, because you may not know what the Notre Dame Cathedral is all about, but they give us a brief history to show us and kind of bring us up to speed on why this meant so much to so many. Take a look.
For more than 850 years, Notre Dame has dominated the heart of Paris. In a matter of hours, it became an inferno-ravaged shell, but crucially, still standing. Even with its timber roof and spire gone, eaten up by the flames, the huge Gothic cathedral that took a century to build remains an architectural, religious, national and international landmark. Westminster Abbey was built in its Gothic style on the orders of King Henry III, following a visit to Paris in the 1200s. The legacy of Notre Dame stretches far beyond France.
This is an absolute disaster. This building was one of the great early works of Gothic architecture. It came in a city that was developing Gothic architecture at the end of the 12th century. It refined the style. Notre Dame was one of the great exponents of it. And it went on to influence all subsequent cathedrals here. So Notre Dame is a stepping stone for our own Westminster Abbey.
I know this means a lot to a lot of people. This is a building that has a lot of meaning to each individual, that has their own purpose about this building. There's believers and non-believers that have views of this building. They believe it, you know, and, you know, it's a building.
Yeah.
It's a building. As a matter of fact, what is the Washington Post reporting about this place?
Well, it's interesting that almost immediately, once this cathedral was on fire, so many people, and particularly billionaires, were offering and pledging hundreds of millions of dollars. And the Washington Post just released an article, and the title of this article is Notre Dame May Have Too Much Money After Billionaires and Others Rush to Pledge. The reconstruction of
Notre Dame may have too much money, more than what they need. Mm-hmm.
The reconstruction of Notre Dame, French economists now say, may be one of them. The Union of the French Construction Economists released preliminary numbers this week indicating that the rebuilding efforts will cost between $330 million and $670 million.
That's including tax, right?
Oh, no, not including
tax,
according to the BBC. Now, the calculation is not an official estimate, and groups dedicated to preserving French cultural heritage caution that the final cost could be higher. Now, the figures raised new eyebrows in France after billionaires who rushed to save the historic cathedral faced a backlash over their donations all week. Depending on the estimate, between $835 million and more than $1 billion in donations have been pledged, with most of the money coming from some of France's most wealthiest families. And so they talk about all the kind of famous families that were pledging this money. But now nearly almost $400 million more than what is actually needed.
And so the key component here is, you know, and there is a difference between a building and an important building. I understand that. But the context of this, it wasn't like a long period of time. It was like suddenly this happened. Suddenly this $1 billion comes in for the building. And it shifted from people, you know, people who are Christians and people who aren't Christians. People who openly said it has another meaning to me and that it is the place where people come and tourism to Paris more than the Eiffel Tower. But it is a building. I mean, it is a building. And when I think about this, I want to think about this in the contrast between, granted, in Sri Lanka, they did not have, you know, the Notre Dame Cathedral to meet in, but there was a human being there. I mean, the Notre Dame Cathedral, there was nobody in the building, but in the gathering in Sri Lanka, there was thousands of people gathered there, people, Christians, human beings, bodies, women, men, mothers, children, who at Easter suffered a massacre of a guy, a young man wearing a backpack with a bomb to destroy Christians in Sri Lanka. This is the question we want to ask ourselves, and we're going to go to a break here, but I just want to ask you, because we're going to go to Sri Lanka after this. Who is the building of God? What is the building of God? Is the Notre Dame Cathedral the building of God? Or is the individual believer in Sri Lanka the building of God? Because billions of dollars came immediately, estimated $1 billion come immediately for the building in Paris. And the headlines covered everywhere for what took place in Paris for the building. But the people in Sri Lanka, the mothers, the fathers, the sons, the daughters, the people in the hotel next door, because they wanted to kill Christians. That barely was there a mention compared to speaking of the press coverage that was covering the building compared to what was covered in Sri Lanka and how it was worded. It was, oh, the building, Ave Maria. I mean, everybody's hearts are turned. Billionaires are giving. And it's like silence. And now, there is some media coverage, but comparing the coverage that took place from a building to actually what is Paul refers to, you are the building of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? We're going to talk about that after we get back from this break. But what are your thoughts? Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Because we got to understand, what if we give more attention to something that's brick and mortar, which God doesn't give any attention to, but the thing that he gives attention to, which is human beings, bodies, humans, men and women, and we just neglect them, how is he going to treat us? I mean, how is he going to see us? I mean, God loves us, but the question is, do we love him? Do we love buildings more than we love people? Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I
will fight. 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith in what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator. I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We're going to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? I mean, maybe 500, 600 yeah. wisdom nuggets in addition to these success strategies. It's yours now, vfnkb.com.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all, to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, listen, in Sri Lanka, the massacre that took place on Easter morning, when all these Christians were gathered together to be able to celebrate the resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, people were gathered together, and they were, you know, going through their service and going through their time together. And this young man who was totally taken over demonically to be able to harm individuals comes in with a backpack bomb on his back and ignites it, and just over 230 potential, they said at one time almost 300, but it was less than that. But people were injured, just mayhem. It was blood splatter all over the place. And it was a tragedy. It was a tragedy. John.
This is the worst terrorist attack since 9/11. We want to show you, want to take you there, because you may have not seen it. We talked about earlier in our program how it was nonstop coverage of the burning of the cathedral, and that was important. But this is people's lives that we're talking about in this program. We want you to see what happened and what this mayhem looked like, because we can't disconnect that it was real people and it was Christians that were targeted and were massacred, and now their lives are over. Take a look.
This is a tragedy. This is where our hearts should go, to the people. This is where the billions should go. This is where the dollar should
That's
go.
Right.
This is where, you know, remembering the mother of Jesus and remembering Jesus and compassion to be there for the Sri Lanka people that have suffered such great loss, the Christians that were there suffering great loss, not knowing if it's going to happen again. Several terrorists were in the community and doing different things of that nature. And listen, it's major. Christians are under attack. The buildings, I understand the meaning of the buildings, but listen, you are the building of God. It's Christians that are under attack greater than ever before, reportedly, in the world. Right now, this one moment, even in Europe, as a matter of fact, just watch Glenn Beck as he's talking specifically about where we are with how many Christians are being persecuted in Europe. Listen.
But I do want to say, this was the second largest terrorist attack since 9/11. 500 people went to the hospital, 300 killed, and it was targeting Christians, and it was Muslims doing it. It was Islamists. Let me be very clear. It was Islamists that did it. And we will not talk about it. We just, they won't say that Christians were killed. It was Easter worshipers. It is vital that we talk about the targeting of Christians. Christians are being targeted in China, in Burma, in Africa, in the Middle East, all throughout Europe. 1,800 religious crimes reported in Europe just last year, 1,800. Out of that, over 1,300 were Christians. 1,100 were Christian churches being burned and desecrated. That's just in Europe last year.
Over 1,800 religious crimes reported, and 1,300 of them were against Christians. Mm. The reason why the press, the secular press, is going to ignore all that, because for some reason they have dark motives. They're not focused on, they don't want God. They don't want to promote the reality that God is the creator of the universe, that he sent his son. But we as Christians have to understand that's the reality. That's what's going on. And when you think about this going on, I mean, you're looking at Jews being persecuted. You know, they call it anti-Semitism, but what that is racism towards Jews. And the fact that they turned it to anti-Semitism versus racism, people hear that word, they don't understand. People who claim to not be racist are being racist towards the Jews because of their race,
yeah,
because of their ethnicity.
Interestingly enough, within 1 week of this massacre, there was another attack on a synagogue, you know, right here in America.
In California,
like, California. What is going
tragedy.
On?
Yeah.
Christians and Jews being targeted and really assassinated.
Yes.
This is horrible.
It is. And you're looking, there's a reason why, because the adversary wants to remove the witness of God on the face of the earth. But it's not. It's God's earth. It's not going to be successful
right.
in the context of doing that. But I think about, you know, debating over, okay, all this billions of dollars in compassion and press and live footage of the live footage of the building burning, right? But when it comes to Sri Lanka, it's like, you know, hello.
Radio silence.
Almost radio silence, comparatively speaking, to the building.
Sure.
But who was the building of God? Do you know that when you look at the scriptures, you look at Acts chapter 17, he's talking to us. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 25. John, read that.
The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Acts 17, 24.
So then, God's not in a building, a physical building. Yeah. He's not in a building. If he was, it would be, you know, heaven. And so now, 1 Peter 2, 4, what does he say about this?
As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
So now he's saying specifically that God does not live in a building built by human hands. Secondly, he says, you are the temple of God. I'm built. You're like living stones. So it's not like one individual is this full, but we're part of the temple of God. We're like stones being built together. So when we come together to unify, where two more stones are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I'm the love that's holding it all together. And so then, you know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he nails it here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he says very specifically, talking to the Christian, the church in Corinth, he's writing to them.
Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple.
You are the temple. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is what happens. God's Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. Granted, you're not the Notre Dame Cathedral, but God loves you more than does brick and mortar. He's the one that created everything and holds everything together. You're the one that's created in the image and the likeness of God. You're the one that he desires to have a relationship with. He's the one that wants to abide in you. So really, when you think about it, there was nobody in the physical building in Notre Dame. Thank God nobody was there and that nobody got injured or hurt, although I believe a firefighter or a construction worker may have gotten hurt. But in Sri Lanka, over 200, almost 300 lives were impacted. The whole, every believer that was there, every Christian, all these tabernacles of God were God's Spirit. He says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. He's not talking about a building in Paris and Notre Dame. He's talking about the people, the Christians in Sri Lanka that made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, and God came into it. God is in them. So when you touch a believer, when you lay your hands on a believer, when you blow a bomb up in the midst of the tabernacles of God, all the people, not the building they were in, you are blowing a bomb up in the face of God's Son. That blood splatter was on Jesus' face. I mean, you think about it. When Paul, originally his name was Saul, was persecuting the church, Jesus didn't say, you know, why are you hurting these buildings? Because he was going after people. They were in houses, they were meeting in different places, but he was going to where they were meeting, and he was taking them out, he was having them stoned, he was persecuting them, he was using the governmental and church, temple influence to be able to come against the people, the followers of Jesus. And on the road to Damascus, when he's going from Jerusalem to Damascus, he had an encounter with God, Jesus. And literally, he fell off his horse. He fell off his donkey. And it's so bright. And all of a sudden, the presence of God's there. And he goes, why are you kicking against me, Saul? Think about it. Why are you blowing me up, sir? Why are you hating on me? Hating on Christians and Jews is hating on God. That's what he was saying to Saul. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this? Saul understood, and he goes, Lord, Lord. In other words, I didn't see. I was blind, but now I see. Literally, physically, for a while, for 3 days, he went blind. His eyes just kind of put scales over his eyes. But he had a shift from a blindness to the ability to see. He shifted from the building being God to people being God. Prior to him understanding the building, he was actually stoning the people. But once he understood that people are the building of God, then he just said, put the building on the back burner and started focusing on building people instead of building buildings. He spent the rest of his life building people. Listen, this is a big test for us. The world seems to be getting smaller because it's covered by press. We saw on our phones and our iPads and our televisions and our computers with all this ablaze taking place in Paris. It was tragic, it was. But it was a building. It was a physical building, brick and mortar. Actually, it was falling apart and they're trying to remodel it. But Sri Lanka was the image of God, the likeness of God, the temple of God. The people were the temple of God. And immediately, by the way, as believers, they're in the presence of God. But us neglecting that reality, imagine what the Lord is saying. Dear God, help us recognize you today in our lives and the lives of others. I want to pray with you right now. We pray for those that have suffered such great persecution. Father God, I pray you comfort those in Sri Lanka, Father God. Meet their needs, Father God. I pray for compassion. I pray for wisdom, God. Protect your church. Protect the Jews and the Christians from this persecution that's happening in the earth, dear God. And we ask you, dear God, end this terrorism, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for. You know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something or heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on BFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits.
and these strange people show up knocking on a door they've never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today, and everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation. Mm-hmm. And they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.